This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
Welcome, everybody, to Faherty Up Close from a Distance. I'm broadcasting here from my underground bunker in Dallas, Texas, staying at home. I hope you are, too. And my guest today is a dear friend of mine and a colleague at work, but he was also the first Native American, full-blood Native American ever to play the PGA Tour. He is Nota Begay III. Nota, thanks for joining me.
Oh, so great to be with you, David. I've watched the show and all the different guests that you've had, and I finally made it, man. I'm here. So let's make the best of it during this difficult time and have some great conversation.
How are you coping with it, you and April and the kids in New Mexico?
Gosh, I mean, I think we're spending a lot of time together. We're really, you know, what it's really done for us is it's really brought us closer as a family. I mean, yeah. I think we've had a standalone dinner where we set the table and we put our devices away and we engage and we go through a little exercise of if it's a school week, we'll ask them what their high from the school day was and what their low was. And then we'll also do just general appreciations and maybe give a thought out for something that they're appreciative of and something that they're praying for with regard to just the challenges that the country's facing. The kids are well aware of it. They talk about it with each other. And, you know, I was just out in the yard 30 minutes ago with my three-year-old swinging her on the swings. And so for myself, it's been a nice reprieve in terms of my family time in the face of some real difficult times sort of in my communities that I grew up in.
Well, people think of you as a broadcaster these days on the golf course with NBC and, of course, with us at Golf Channel. But they kind of forget that you were a hell of a player. In fact, you know, on the same team as Tiger Woods, you won the national championship the year before Tiger came to Stanford. And then when he joined the team, you lost.
That's right. So I believe me, I remind him of that constantly. When his head gets a little bit big, you know, right about 70 wins, I started to have to use this a little bit more regularly. But it was one of the things where, you know, he came to the campus his very first week, and I put my arms around him. And I said, "Tiger, you are by far going to be the strongest freshman in America." And he thought I was talking about his golf game. So he looked at me kind of, you know, with his little cracked smile. And I said, it's going to be because you're going to carry all of our bags when we go on road trips. And he did it, David. He did it. Like, he was a great sport because we had four seniors and one freshman. So Tiger was the lonely freshman. So the very first trip, I had the guys pile all of our bags about 100 feet away from the van. And Tiger carried each one and loaded it up in the van. He got them out when they came off the carousel. When we got to the tournament, he'd take them to the rental car. And it was just, it was great. And about three or four events, he's kind of like, "I'm kind of sick of this. And I don't want to do this anymore." And so Casey Martin and myself, who were the captains of the team, he came into the room at the hotel. And he's like, "Hey, I'll make you a deal. If I can win a tournament," he's like, "I don't have to do this anymore." And we also had him sleeping on the rollaway in the hotel. So all the four seniors got a bed, and Tiger always got the rollaway. And so he made this deal saying, "If I win a tournament, I don't have to do any of this stuff anymore." And so we said, okay, we figured we'd ride it out for a few more weeks because he was just a freshman. He wasn't going to win anytime soon. And he went out, David. And surprisingly, I know you're very surprised, he won the very next event.
What a shock. Is it fair to say, you know, with you making him sleep on a rollaway and carry your bags, that you're probably responsible for his back problems?
No, I think he was carrying all that money around when he turned pro.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Hey, you know, you mentioned Casey Martin being on that team. How big of an inspiration was Casey to you?
Huge inspiration in a couple ways. He had the most, I guess, positive outlook on his situation. And we'd become close through preseason, and we went on our first road trip. And he said, "You know, do you want to see my leg?" Because he has to wear this therapeutic sock that restricts the blood flow because he doesn't have the veins to circulate the blood out of the leg. It'll go, gravity pulls it in, and if there's no the restrictive sock down there, it'll pull up, and his knee will swell up to about four or five times the size of its normal size there. And he's like, do you want to see that? And I said, sure. And so we took the sock off, and I mean, lo and behold, literally within 15 seconds, this knee got as bigger than a large grapefruit. And back then, the times have changed now. We play a lot more 36 whole days. And so you have this guy out there who's had this issue with his leg for such a long time, battling it out. And it really inspired me to focus a lot more on just what I had going for me in my life. And he was really, he's become one of my dear friends. And I just, looking back on that entire team, you have a chance to play with a guy like Tiger Woods, who did all the great things, the 15 majors and the 82 wins, and we're still counting, hopefully. But a guy who also got to argue a case on behalf of a lot of people that were physically challenged in the United States Supreme Court, and sit in that court where all of these historical precedents with regard to how we live our lives in this country have been set. And that has been an inspiration to me, because he had always been an advocate for what he thought those opportunities should be for physically challenged people. And never once did he ever expect anybody to feel sorry for him.
Yeah, it's an amazing character. You've had your fair share of injury yourself. You were really forced out of the game with back injuries, right? And you had a heart attack in 2014. It's not that funny, actually, now that I think of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was quite scary. I it was when I lived in Dallas, I had a heart attack. And, you know, if you're going to have a heart attack, do it at a nice golf club, because there's usually a doctor around. And I was lucky that there was a physician in the clubhouse at the time. And he immediately called 911. The ambulance showed up. I got taken out on the gurney into the ambulance, loaded up, taken to Dallas Baptist Medical Center, and the cardiologist there fixed me up and cleared my blockage up within 17 minutes of when I got to the hospital. And for anybody that knows anything about heart attacks, you know, the longer that your heart is without blood, the more difficult it is to regain your ability to pump the blood through the rest of your system. And if not for that, I lead what I consider a pretty normal life. I still train on a regular basis and run and do all these very cardio intensive activities. And if it wasn't for the wonderful job that the surgeon did with my clearing up my blockage, I certainly wouldn't have had these opportunities.
Well, I'm glad you're still with us. that's for sure. talk a little bit about, you know, the situation that we've got at the minute, which is so frightening for Native American communities, particularly where you are. How is it affecting you?
It's devastating. I mean, in a word, on a variety of fronts. I mean, under normal conditions, our healthcare system is underfunded. And so you're seeing the impact that something like this is having. I mean, we have multi-generational households, a lot of people living under one roof. So one person comes home infected, there's a chance the entire family in that household is going to be infected. And that's exactly what happened. It's really hard to watch. And I'm thankful that I have people like you that are willing to help me get the message out and talk about it, because I hope that, you know, we pull through it somehow, and somehow we learn from it and maybe become a little bit more prepared the next time.
Where do people go to help?
Everybody can go to mb3foundation.org. We started what's called a COVID-19 response fund. And we understand that there's stimulus money and some government money, state and federal, coming into these communities. But we also understand that there's just a lot of hangups, and sometimes that money doesn't go where, can't help everybody.
Well, hopefully we can continue to get the word out, and you know, congratulations on that work that you're doing. I hope it's more and more successful. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh. Thanks for joining me, Faherty fans. You can find more of the Faherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Faherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, ART19, or Google Play. Search Faherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.